This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast. This week, we are talking about naming our emotions. Woohoo! Everybody, get excited. If you have not downloaded the book club guide, if you have not downloaded any of our freebies with this book, we are giving you an emotions chart that is the emotions that we talk about in this book. And so it goes into greater description. So we're talking about granularity and using words that are more descriptive. And the reason it's powerful to use words that are more descriptive when we're naming our emotions is because we are people who we're going to share it eventually. Mm-hmm. We're going to feel it. But if we can give it a really specific name, it helps us to feel that emotion properly. So if it's grief because someone died versus disappointment that I wasn't invited to a party, mm-hmm. those get different amounts of weight mm-hmm. and time and energy. And so the more specific you can name the emotion, the healthier it is going to go through this process. So mm-hmm. We're going to start with the big four. And every book, as I mentioned in the book, every book I read had different numbers. Some people were like, there's seven main emotions. Some people said there's five. Some people said there's four. So I thought the simplicity of four was memorable. And I really think almost every other emotion can fit in and slide into one of these big ones. So fear, joy, anger. What am I forgetting?
Sadness.
Okay. Of course I forgot that one. I hate that one. I like every emotion better than that one. Sadness can just feel like it lasts so long. So we're going to look at all these emotions. So Kate, do you look back at your childhood and feel like, man, we were an emotional house. Everybody was really emotional. Because I grew up in one that wasn't. But I kind of think ours kind of was.
I definitely do.
Oh, yeah. I think all four of y'all.
But I also think it's that every single personality in our family is a lot. Like there is not. And that's what's amazing about Charlie is, my name is Kate Summers. I'm Jenny's daughter. We never introduced that. Yeah. If you're wondering.
If you haven't been here.
Just tuned in. And my husband, Charlie, is the best. And he is very chill. And he is very go with the flow. But he's
not super emotional.
No. Not even. It's not. Well, no. I would say he is in like a really good, healthy way. I would say just that like we all kind of fly off the handle just a little bit. But at least at home. I would say none of us are like that outside of the home. But I do think the home was a very safe place to be a lot. And like kind of too much. And we all are that. So I definitely remember our house as being very chaotic. And like that was not a crazy thing to be crying or yelling or sad. Like, you know.
Yeah. And I kind of remember having like emotional words somewhere or like a chart or emojis or something where you were like, what are you feeling? I don't know if that came from counseling when Cooper came along. But anyway, do you feel like you always knew
how to? I don't know if it had that much structure when I was growing up. Me and Connor might have a different experience of Carolyn and Cooper.
But yes. But did you feel like you could identify your emotions? I just feel like you always were pretty emotionally intelligent.
Yes. And I would say she really paints me on this thing. Like I am like the most emotional person ever. But I would say the same thing. Like out in the real world, you learn skills to be able to like cope with them and manage them. But sometimes in a good way. I would say that, yes, like I feel like I've always been some level of like aware of my own emotions, but especially other people's emotions.
Yeah.
In a way, I think is a spiritual gift that like somebody might be reacting a certain way, but I have some awareness that it's a different, the actual core emotion is something other than what they're showing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes I'm blinded about that in myself. So there might be other people tuning in that think they're pretty emotionally intelligent. Like I came into counseling like that. Like I kind of know the deal here. But until I started letting people actually come into my life and start, like kind of change seats, it took me a while to really figure that out for myself. So yes, I think I felt things deeply, but I think I just felt deeply. But I feel like it's been recently that I've been able to like really name and dissect different things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Some of you are like, okay, we're getting to the very uncomfortable part. I can handle, are you okay? Not okay. But now having to name what I'm feeling, I might just fall apart. And I just want to say to that there's so much grace. We just do this in baby steps. I mentioned in the book, and I might've mentioned here that, you know, dad just laughed at me the whole time I was working on this book. Cause it was like, man, you sure are telling me all your feelings. Cause all through the day, I was like, well, I'm feeling, oh yeah. Cause I was thinking about him all the time. So I would say I'm feeling kind of down today. And he was like, okay. And he was like, I think it's a little bit of disappointment about it. And I would tell him what it was because I knew that was good. And he told me, you know, he said, I had to not ride the waves of all your emotions right. as you wrote this. So mm-hmm. I think it's a good rule of thumb, as especially as we get into sharing all of this, that in these weeks that we're processing this together, for you to just tell the people you're closest to, like, hey, I'm doing this little experiment. And I might come off a little bit awkward, but I'm really trying to notice my feelings, maybe for the first time, or just notice them more because I'm not great at noticing them. And so if I'm talking about that a lot, that's why. Will you just kind of just be in it with me? I don't need you to fix me. I just need you to like give me space to talk. I think that's a really important thing as we get into this, because you're going to be talking about it, because you're going to be noticing it in ways, even if you're good at this, a little bit deeper. So I want to walk through the four emotions because I think we could just assume, and one reason I didn't put these as whole chapters in my book is because, one, I felt like as I did all the research that there was a lot about that. Atlas of the Heart is a great one. Chip Dodd has an excellent book about the emotions and walks through each one. I just thought those were super helpful resources. I wanted to do something a little bit different than all of those. And so I don't want to camp out here long, but I think it's important we at least mention the big four. So joy, let's talk about joy, because we know that joy is our favorite one, mm-hmm. but we can even judge joy. We can even be like hard on ourselves that we feel happy. But that part of your brain that feels joy is similar to, and I can show you the link in the notes, show notes, but I found this image that just blew my mind where it was located in the exact same part of your brain. So when somebody was under an MRI and they felt joy and they were talking about something joyful or experiencing something joyful, that part of their brain was the exact same part as something sad. Mm. And so when you think of suppressing all of this, then you're truly suppressing that part of your brain that also experiences joy. So if you feel like, gosh, I don't know that I'm depressed or I don't know that I'm anxious per se, but I haven't felt happy in a really long time, you need to pay attention to that. And I really believe these practices of learning to feel fear and even in small portions, anger, sadness will actually reawaken that part of your brain that experiences joy too, which is just so cool that God built our brains that you can even see it, like it lights up when you're feeling certain things. So joy is one of those things that, you know, it's even hard to notice. Like we talked about last week, noticing in your body. I thought about talking about how we notice joy in our body, but I really couldn't think of the answer. Like, what would you say on that? Like when you experience joy, I mean, laughter is a good one. Silly. Mm-hmm. We both get kind of silly.
Yeah, I think you just feel free. I also, I'm a happy crier, which is something that like, I think a lot of people, at least from what I've experienced, like people that haven't experienced happy tears.
Yeah.
Some of doing this work has like freed them up to be able to happy cry. Like in a way, I think Charlie's felt really challenged by that in our marriage of like, I want to feel that much, let myself feel that much emotion joyfully. I think also I was thinking about, it just makes sense. I feel like a lot of people write about this, but in our culture in America, and it's so hurried and what you're producing and like productivity driven, that's what I'm trying to say, that we have like lost the space to grieve and then also lost the space to celebrate. And I feel like that is so deeply connected with like the way we judge joy and like the way we're just so focused on like continuing to move or like there's going to be another hard thing or whatever it is. And so I love that we get to like camp out and joy and that there's something genuinely so productive about noticing a moment that you feel deep joy.
Yeah. And I think naming it also helps you notice it in a deeper way to say like, I feel really happy.
Yeah.
I've learned to do that because sometimes I'll be having a good day and I will say it often to people like, I'm really happy today. Today's been a great day. I think we're embarrassed to say that because so many people are suffering and struggling. And certainly we are too. Like if you were to look at certain parts of our life, you'd be like, how do you even have a happy day? Because there's a lot of hard in our life still, but there's a lot of happy. And so I think we've got to learn to name that and be enjoying that as well. Anger, this is a tough one because we do often sin in our anger, which is, I think, why scripture had to say, in your anger, do not sin, because we do. So often. And yet Jesus felt anger. So we know that the anger in itself isn't the sin, but it can be one that trips us up. You haven't ever gotten mad at Charlie, have you?
Oh, never. No. Okay. Something I honestly feel like I'm still not on the fence about this one, but like I remember somebody bringing it up. Like, do you think that humans can feel righteous anger? Because like God's anger is righteous anger. What would you say to that? Because I think I even bounce on this tension of like, oh, I don't know if.
I don't think, I mean, it's just why it says in your anger, don't sin.
Right.
Because I think it's like, we're in a very unjust world. And it could be, you get mad because somebody's not fair to you. And yeah. you would say, well, that would be selfish. Well, no, that was wrong. You were wronged. There is a place for that mm-hmm. in life to yeah. be wrong. Jesus was wronged, and yet he chose to forgive anyway. I think all of these emotions are opportunities that we miss if we push them down and don't connect to them. But if we connect to our anger, then we get to, as we're going to talk about in a few weeks, choose what to do with it, right? So mm-hmm. we're going to feel it. We're going to go, gosh, that really hurt me, and I'm ticked. You know, you're going to feel that. To some degree, you can't make yourself not feel it. I mean, you can mm-hmm. say, like, I'm going to not feel anger. I'm not going to feel anger. And right. then you end up more angry, and you kind of snap. So you can push it down, but it's probably going to come out. Anger mm. especially is the one that comes out sideways. And it's the one that's easiest for us to just act on. So for instance, what I mean by that is you could be feeling sadness from something that you won't recognize, and you keep it down. And you're a dad of a family of young kids, and all of a sudden you find yourself short with those kids all the time. Short. Why am I so short with them? I need to stop being short. No, you probably need to feel the sadness you feel and the disappointment mm. you feel at work or whatever it is about. Mm. You've lost your dad or whatever you're going through. You need to feel that, because the reason you're short is because sadness will manifest as anger if it's stuffed for too long. Mm. And so you're short, you're irritable. Like that's what I hear from a lot of people. I just feel kind of irritated lately. It's like, well, what are you stuffing? What are you not feeling that would help, like, if you unleash that mm. and release that and felt that and healed in that and spent some time with that, that irritability will go down.
I am not one to walk into any kind of beauty store and know right away what kind of cleanser or lotion or serum or what order I'm supposed to put them in until I found Pros. And we all know that your hair and skin can sway your mood, impact your day in ways that you can't underestimate. But ever since I switched to a custom hair and skin routine with Pros, I've noticed so many benefits, like healthier hair and skin. Now that I've been using Pros skincare for a few weeks now, I can already notice a difference in the texture of my skin and the brightness. Especially in the morning when I don't want a ton of steps, or before bed at night, I just really want simple, easy, I want it explained to me, and that is what Pros has done for my hair and my skin. Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types, so personalization is rooted in everything that they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. From millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely yours or mine. For me, I can have discoloration and melasma on my face really quickly, especially in the summertime. And so Pros, especially with the hyaluronic acid serum that I use at night and their cleanser, between shipments, you can always use the review and refine tool, which means you can affect your formula based on what your skin goal or your hair goals are. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/madeforthis. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/madeforthis. That's PROSE.com/madeforthis.
Next is sadness. And again, this is my least favorite one. I think it's my least favorite one because I never know how long it's going to last. Mm. Like when I enter into a season of yeah. sadness, I'm fearful that, like with your dad, like it was so long that he was depressed and it felt like our home was sad for so long, that whenever I see sadness or feel it from one of you or from him, that's what I want to fix. Like anger, I'm kind of used to. We're big, explosive. We're near Italians. Like we are mm-hmm. really big personalities, all of us. So I'm more comfortable in that.
Explain that.
Well, like
–
we do have Italian.
Italian
relatives, but it's not by blood. So I don't think I'm Italian by blood. But okay. But I do think that we are
like near it, though.
We are somewhere deep in us Italian.
Totally.
I've never done the DNA on us, but we are very Italian. And we share
what a wild thing
all of that easily. But sadness is like, it feels like you just don't want that guy. Like when you think about the little guy on Trolls that's like the cloud that's raining all the time. Everybody, like he always walks up and everybody's like, go away. Like nobody wants you here. Because it's like, nobody wants that. But at the same time, I've learned the beauty of it. I've mm-hmm. learned the intimacy of it,
yeah.
walking through sadness. What would you say about it?
Well, I think exactly what you're saying about how a lot of times sadness can transition into anger because, like what you're saying, there's such a lack of control with sadness, and anger is how we try to grasp for control
mm-hmm.
when we don't want to just sit and be sad because it's not fun. Yeah. And we don't like that feeling of like, I don't know how long this is going to last, and I don't know
yeah.
if it's going to change. And so I just think that, again, it makes sense.
And then fear. When was the last time you remember feeling worried or afraid? I mean, this one is really consuming our culture. And I am not suggesting that it should consume us. So when an emotion becomes something that is controlling your life, now no longer is God controlling your life. So it is not that you don't feel the fear. It's that you take the fear to God. And I love the conversation I had with Sydney McLaughlin earlier this season, who is an Olympic runner. You heard when she was talking that she felt fear, you know, in moments when she was 16 and she's showing up at the Olympic trials as the youngest runner ever to be in, you know, a trying out for the Olympics and making it. She was intimidated and terrified. But she said, I just invited God into that. And I think that's the story we're trying to tell. It's not that we eradicate fear from our lives. It's that we invite God into it. And we really trust him with that fear. And we say, you know, worst case, I like to do with fear this little exercise. So what? What are you afraid of? Okay, so what if that happens? When you get to the end of your fear and you go, okay, is God big enough for that? And he always is. That is what it looks like to trust God. If your worst fears come true, are you okay? I mean, in some instances, I wonder, but I know if the day ever came that your dad, something happened to your dad, I would be okay. Like I would, you know, it's my worst fear. And when you face that, then it doesn't have the power over you. It's not that you can't feel the emotion. It's not that you won't feel the emotion. You will still, but it's that it doesn't have power over you.
And with those three emotions that would, I think, be perceived as negative emotions, I think about the pattern of what we're moving from, and somebody listening to this, that it's still kind of uncomfortable. I think for me, what it is initially is I want to jump straight to choose. Like, I feel like I need to, again, just like intellectually in my mind, jump straight to choose. I think really as like a way of controlling. Like I want to do the right thing, and I want to be in a correct place with it. And that right. desire is a good thing. But I think what is so helpful about these first four steps in, like, could you name them again? What are the first four ones?
Or I guess notice, name, feel, share.
Yes. There's just something deeper that the Lord wants from us that's not just our performance of giving the right
that's
answer.
Right. Yeah, that's what – I mean, that's it. That's what he's after. I think about the woman at the well in this chapter specifically, where he wanted her to name what was really wrong, what she was really feeling. She was ashamed. She was there in the middle of the day so she wouldn't be around other people. He knew all that about her. He went through this town to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
He knew everything. But he wanted her to say it. And when she wouldn't say it, he named it for her.
Mm-hmm.
And he named it out of compassion. He named it because he loved her. He named it because he wanted her freedom. And God is not mean. He is not trying to get you to name your anger, your sadness, your fear out of meanness. He's getting you to name it so he can heal you. That is his plan for this. And it's scary, I know, but it is transformative. It is his compassion. It is his compassion that is calling and bidding us to do this. Here's some simple things to ask yourself as we close up this episode. Number one, when was the last time you felt really happy? What's the last thing you got mad about? What's the last time you remember just fuming? When was the last time you cried? And then what's your greatest fear? What are you afraid of? What's your worst fear? You probably can think of it really quickly. Those are great things, just so you're aware, like these are triggers. These are things that get to me and that I want to remember and know. And then the biggest thing is go download the book club guide. In it, you're going to find the feelings wheel, and use it with your families, use it with your friends, use it with your people. Okay, what are you feeling? And then when they say, I don't know, I feel kind of down, like pull it out and be like, which down, like which sad part do you feel? And find
just
the word.
Keep it in your pocket.
Yeah, but really. And Kate, you have an app that you love that I talk about in the book.
Yeah. Well, so Charlie found it originally. It's called, I think it's like How We Feel.
Yep.
And it has four categories, and you press one of them, and then it takes you into kind of the next depth of what levels of that emotion, different ways that it manifests itself. And the interesting thing about this app is that Charlie started using it so that he would get better at naming how he felt. It like sends you a little notification
yeah.
twice a day, or you can set it to however many times a day. of like how you're feeling, and then it records it, and then you can see that data. It's like, it's so helpful for people like Charlie that are like numbers guys, where he's like sees the data of when he was feeling different things. But you can make friends on it, so then when you put in your emotion, it tells your friends. And so, like, I have one friend that
I could not recommend this app anymore. It literally is so kind of is helpful this process. For this
book. Yes. But she put, I see on my phone, like, blah, blah, blah person is feeling panic. And so immediately I call her and she doesn't answer. And I text her and she's like, what, how do you know? And she's like, that dang app. Like, she didn't even realize, she wasn't even thinking about how it shared it. But I got to be invited into that
right.
panic with
it
her.
It did what it was supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
this is it. This is how we live. Yeah. It'll be messy. And I promise you, the other side of this, you're going to feel that deep exhale where you're like, gosh, I'm not as anxious as I used to be. I promise that's coming. It works. It's like magic. I say that a lot, but it really does. God built our emotions and it changes the way we experience life.
Did you know that Jenny has a YouTube and we post videos up all the time? And so go to youtube.com and search Jenny Allen. We'll make sure to post it in the show notes as well. Share it with your friends. Pass it along to someone today. And we're so glad you guys were here. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Made for This podcast.